Thanks so much for joining us today. We'd love to know how much this ministry is touching your life. Please take a moment and email us your story at stories@transformationchurch.net. Also, if you would like to help support this ministry financially, you can do so by visiting us at transformationchurch.net, clicking on the Giving tab, and choosing the giving option that best works for you. Thanks again for joining us. We hope you enjoy today's message.
How many are ready to get rattled by God today? Come on now. You may be seated. Y'all ain't ready. Y'all ain't ready for what God wants to do in this place. Y'all ain't ready for what God wants to do in our lives. I truly believe that God is rattling us and wants to rattle something deep within our hearts and within our souls. Did you come ready today to get rattled? If not, I give you a chance right now to slip out or log off, because if you stay tuned or stay in, I promise you this, God is going to begin the rattling process in you. He's about to rattle us. But I know what you're thinking, Pastor, I don't know how much more rattling I can take right now, because God has been rattling my life. God has been rattling my finances. God has been rattling our city. God has been rattling our nation. Pastor, I don't know how much rattling I can take. And I just want to tell you, I hear y'all. I hear y'all. Because we've been all rattled these past few months, right? Our finances have been rattled. Our faith has been rattled. Our church has been rattled. Our nation is being rattled. Our families, our health, our kids, our lives. But what if I were to tell you that sometimes God allows things to be rattled around us so that he can rattle something within us? You see, there's a difference between the rattle of deconstruction and the rattle of construction. When someone's tearing down a building, or when a company's tearing down a building, it sounds the same like when someone builds a building, am I right? There's still the noise, there's still the rattling sound. And when we've been through a season of deconstruction, God has been rattling the gods, God has been rattling our finances, God has been rattling the things we trust externally, and he's about to rattle something internally within us. And I'm not talking about deconstructing us, I'm talking about bringing stuff together, doing something within us. What if the kind of rattling God wants to do in our lives is not a rattling of a falling apart, but a rattling of a coming together? I truly believe God is rattling us, but he wants to rattle our lives. He wants to rattle our souls. He wants to rattle our spirits. And I know that, I don't know why God has allowed what we're all experiencing in this world, but this I do know, that God is using it to rattle some things out of us, shake us, so that those things that cannot be shaken remain, so that those things that cannot be shaken stand, so that those things cannot be shaken shine. And we've been through a shaking, and the purpose of the shaking is so that God can do something great within us spiritually. I truly believe we're on the verge of a spiritual awakening. I truly believe that God is about to awaken us from a place of dryness, a place of numbness, a place of spiritual apathy, a place of spiritual dryness. I don't know about you, but have you been dry? Are you thirsty? Are you hungry? I'm not talking about lunch. Give me a few more minutes. We'll have lunch. I'm talking about your soul and your spirit and your life, because when things are rattled around us, what remains is our appetite for God. This is the thing. So many of us do not recognize that we are dry. It happened to me recently. I was, about a month ago, I was meeting with my trainer. And I know you probably, I know what you're thinking, Pastor, you look like you have a trainer. And I do have a trainer. I think we do more talking than training, but we do train. We try. I haven't seen him for the past few weeks. And if you're watching, help me. But about a month ago, I was feeling tired and fatigued and just drained. I was numb. I was like, I don't know what's going on. I'm just dragging. I don't have energy to do anything. Help me. And the first question he asked is, how much water are you drinking? And I said, yeah, I drink a couple bottles. He says, is that all you've had? It's 5 o'clock in the evening now. He says, that's all you've had all day? Yeah, a couple bottles of water. How many cups of coffee? About four. He goes, Pastor Joe, you are dehydrated. And I was like, what? How am I dehydrated? So he went to his car, got me some electrolytes, and I was just pounding down water. And for 3 days, I was drinking electrolytes and waters. And after the third day, by the third day, I was feeling like a new man, right? I wonder how many of us do not recognize or realize that we are spiritually dehydrated because we take sips of Jesus every so often, right? We take sips of God. We come to church, we take a little sip. Or we go throughout our week, we read a verse in the Bible, we take a sip. Or we watch 2 minutes of a live stream, we take a little sip of Jesus. And we think we're hydrated because we had a sip of water. Doesn't matter if you're taking sips of Jesus, sips of water, sips of God. What God wants to do in your life is that he wants to bring rivers of living water into your soul and into your life. And if all you're doing is taking sips of Jesus on Sunday, you are spiritually dehydrated and you are dry. That's why you're exhausted. That's why you're tired. That's why you're numb. That's why you're going through what you're going through. That's why God and Jesus and church doesn't get you excited anymore. You know, we are in a crisis in the Church of Jesus Christ. We are. We're about 30% attendance right now as a church. But this is nothing new because over the past several years, church attendance has been dropping every year for several years. Actually, in 2019, I believe church attendance was at an all-time low. The average church attender comes, this is a solid core member, twice a month. So if you come twice a month, you're good. But if you do the math, and if that's all you live on is Sunday morning church, and that's about an hour and 15 minutes, you're going to be dry. You're going to grow numb. You're going to become apathetic. You're going to lose your joy. You're going to lose your passion. You're going to lose your drive. You're going to lose your energy. You're going to lose your passion for life, for living, and for the things of God. And I can tell you right now that we are in a season of dryness as a church. I'm not talking about our church. I'm talking about the church. We're in a season of dryness. And I've been pastoring for 23 years. I've been pastoring and leading, and I've been in this church 11 and a half years. And I can recognize the seasons that we're in. I can recognize the seasons of harvest when people are coming to Christ, when the harvest time is here and many are making commitments to follow Christ. And I recognize the season of fall. I recognize the season of spring, but I also recognize the season of winter and dry times and dry seasons, sort of like what we're experiencing even now. Dry time. And I can tell you this, that you may not recognize this, but I'm your trainer this morning. And I'm telling you today, you might be spiritually dehydrated if you find yourself lacking passion and energy and hunger for the things of God. If you went through this morning worship experience so far, and if you were here for the first 35 minutes and you didn't feel anything, you're not dehydrated, you're dead. Check your pulse right now. Come on now. Everybody, check your pulse, because if this was boring to you, if this was just like going through the motions, if you're like, oh, when is this song going to end? Oh, how long is this song going to be? You're not dry, you're dead. Because I can tell you right now, the Spirit of God was here. Jesus was in this house. And if you open up your heart, God wants to invade you and wreck you and rattle your life. And it's about time that God rattles us. Ain't that the truth? Don't get offended now. We worked on that last week, didn't we? Right? Right? We worked on that. So don't be getting offended now at Pastor Joe. I did a lot of hard work to prepare you for this series, all right? Listen, when things become dry, when we become lifeless, when spiritual things become a burden or a chore, or if we're going through the motions, we are in a perfect place for God to do something new in our hearts. We're at a perfect place for God to revive our souls. We're at a perfect place for us to experience the living water of the Holy Spirit. God would often allow or use the struggles and challenges of our lives to get our attention and reveal our true need. See, because we all hunger and we all thirst. We all hunger, we all thirst. And for so many of us, we've been trying to satisfy our spiritual hunger and our spiritual thirst with earthly things. You know what that leads you to? More hunger. Because everything in this world only satisfies for a moment, but will always leave you empty. It's like going to a buffet. I miss those. How many miss the buffets? When will we reopen the buffets? I love buffets. Especially the one in Newburgh, whatever, what's that one called? All y'all know that one. Like, if I say, what's John 3:16, it's like, cricket, cricket. But if I say, what's that buffet in Newburgh? They got five buffets, but y'all said the same one, Flaming Grill, right? Flaming Grill, Flaming Grill. Ain't that the truth? Forgot what I was going to say. So, buffet. Yeah, so I just love that place because you go in starving and you leave sick. Don't you like leave sick like, oh God, why did I have to get that extra plate of sushi? Like, why did I have to? And after a couple hours, you're hungry again. You ever have that experience? Like, and that's the way it is when we try to satisfy our spiritual hunger and our spiritual thirst with the things of this culture, with the things of this world. We go in hard. We take in as much as we can. We think we're full, but we end up feeling sick and empty. Because there's only one kind of food and drink that satisfies us. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Jesus said, I am the living water. Whoever eats of me and whoever drinks of me will never get hungry and will never get thirsty again. That's what he says. And I wonder how many of us have been trying to satisfy the thirst in our lives with the things of this world or with stuff in life only to find ourselves empty. And I truly believe a lot of us are empty. A lot of us are dry. And a lot of us are hungry. But we're choosing to eat junk food instead of the real food. And if we just take a moment and step back and focus on what we really need is the real food, food from heaven, bread from heaven, and drink from heaven that floods our soul and fills our lives, that satisfies every desire, every craving of our heart. And when we lose that, we become dry and empty. So what does God do? Sometimes God allows us to walk in dryness so that we can recognize what we really need. And what we really need is not more junk food. What we really need is an encounter with Jesus, an infilling of the Holy Spirit that will change us and give us the fire, and give us the passion to live and to serve and to love. My prayer is that God will baptize us with his Holy Spirit once again, that he will baptize us with his fire, because what we need, we don't need cute sermons on Sunday mornings anymore. There's a time for cute sermons. How many like cute sermons? How many like at the movies, right? Love that series. But right now, what we need is bread from heaven. Because we are in a starving, our generation is starving for food. What we need is for people to hunger and thirst for God. Truth is that COVID only exposed our lack of hunger for God. That's what it did. It made us quite comfortable with our lives and our own spiritualities. Truth is, Bible reading was already at an all-time low. Scripture reading, praying, people attending small groups, people involved in serving, people giving less and less, people helping others in need. This is all nationally declining. And what we need, don't get me wrong when I say this, we don't need another stimulus check. We need stimulus from the Holy Spirit. Now, if he's going to send it, they're going to send it. I won't mind. I'll be honest. I don't mind. God bless y'all, right? It's not what I mean. So bring it if you have it. Great. That's not what we need. Can I say one more thing? We don't need our guy in the White House, whoever your guy is or girl. Because it don't matter who's in the White House at this moment. Regardless of who's in this White House, or regardless of who's in another country's White House, I just want to tell you this. That there's a throne that's higher than every earthly throne. And every nation and every earthly kingdom will be subject to that throne. See, I'm first a citizen of heaven, then a citizen of the United States. We have to recognize who our King really is and humble ourselves and pray and seek his face. I understand the importance of government, praying for our leaders. The politics is not going to save our nation. Politics is not my notes, and I'm not going to cross the line, but what intrigues me is that you have passionate Christ followers on both sides of the aisle who believe their candidate is from God. Why don't we make our candidate God? First, why don't we do that, right? Can you imagine if both sides of the aisles humbled themselves and pray and sought his face and turned from the... Can you imagine if we just made God our king first? What we need is a move of God. What we need is revival. Now, I'm digging a hole that I'm trying to dig myself out of right now. And I'm not going to get political because I hate that. But y'all know what I was talking about, right? I'm not trying to discount politics. I'm not trying to discount government. Pray for our leaders. But my point for that talk is this. We need Jesus. And I vote for Jesus 2020. How about you? I vote for him 2020. I vote for Jesus 2020. Let his kingdom come, let his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's what Jesus said to pray. Our Father who in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we have this series that I'm starting called Rattle, and it comes from Ezekiel 37. And if you want to turn there, watch it on the screen. We're going to be talking about Ezekiel for the next several weeks. And Ezekiel, first of all, what a cool name, right? Ezekiel. Love that name. Is the book of Ezekiel was written by Ezekiel, who was a prophet. Let me give you some backdrop. And the name means God will strengthen. A Hebrew from the tribe of Levi. He was a prophet in the Old Testament. A prophet would speak for God. But what's unique about Ezekiel is that he's also a priest. He's a prophet and he's a priest. Really powerful. So here's the situation. Okay, he was among the elite of Judah who were captured by Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. The time period was 600 to 570 BC. During this time, God had chosen his people, Israel, who had been scattered and taken by Babylonians. He chose them for their land. Unfortunately, Babylon took over. They turned to other gods. Babylon took control and began to exile. All the nation of Israel began to exile to different countries, specifically Babylon. And the exile brought physical suffering, also a crisis of faith. Israel lost their faith in God and the promises of God. Have you ever been in a situation where you lost your faith in God because of the circumstances you were in? Because based on what they saw, it appeared that God was no longer on the throne. And we have to be so careful. We have to be so careful to judge God's throne on our current circumstances. We have to be so careful because we think sometimes because our circumstances appear as if God is not on the throne, that we think God's not on the throne because of our circumstances. But regardless of what happens in 2020, regardless of what happens in 2021, regardless of what happens in the world, regardless of who's in leadership anywhere in the world, God is on the throne. He's still on the throne. He will always be on the throne. King Uzziah said, he said, "And I saw the Lord high and lifted up. He was on the throne. And the train of his robe filled the temple." Jesus is on the throne, regardless of what you see with your eyes. So Israel was suffering because they thought that the Babylonians had taken over and actually dethroned God. That's what they thought. Their identity was gone. Their temple was destroyed. Everything that pointed to them being a nation was taken away from them. And they assumed that the Babylonian deity dethroned the king of Israel. I wonder how many of us question the faithfulness of God when things around us seem to be crashing down. Don't ever judge God's power based on what you're experiencing. Don't ever judge God's ability based on your struggle. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form. And God said, "Let there be light." In the original Hebrew, they use a word called bara. That word bara simply means, as he spoke, things came into existence. Out of nothing, God created something. See, we are men. We need something to create something. But God created something out of nothing. He just spoke it. And as he said, "Let there be light," came into being. All God needs to do and say in your life is say, "Let there be," boom, and it will be. Yes. Let there be. Let there be. Let there be. That's all it takes is a word from God. One word from God can change your life. One word from God can change the world. But we so often question the faithfulness of God because of the struggles we're in. And God is more interested in developing your faith than he is in giving you stuff. So this is their response. In Ezekiel 37, they're like, our bones are dried up and our hope is lost and we've been completely cut off. You ever feel that way? Like our hope is lost. And so many of us are wondering if our hope is lost or if we're looking at our lives and we're dried up, our bones are dried up. I'm thirsty and I'm hungry and I don't know what it is. I lack joy. I lack peace. I lack passion. I lack energy. And I just lack something in my life. And maybe it's this, if I take a hit of this, or maybe it's that, and for a moment you escape. But after the escape, you always got to come back to reality. And there you are, reality, and you're still hungry, and you're wondering, I'm cut off from something. This is the stage in which God speaks to Ezekiel. Y'all ready for this? Ezekiel 37. And at that moment, God gives Ezekiel a vision. We're going to read the 14 verses. Read it with, or follow along with me. Y'all ready? Yes? This is what happens. The hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. And it was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of that valley, bones that had been very dry. Notice, very dry. And he asked me, son of man, can these bones live? And Ezekiel said, absolutely, Lord, they can. Actually, he said, Lord, you alone know. You ever been in a situation in which what you're standing over and what you see what you believe about what you see? Let me say it again. Hold on a second. It's coming. You ever stand over a difficult situation and what God says doesn't line up with what you see? That's what I wanted to say. Right? And God says, I can revive this. I can do something great. Some of you are standing over a marriage. Some of you are standing over your finances. Some of you are standing over a business that seems dry, very dry, hopeless. And God says, can that situation come back to life? And you're like, God, only you know. So in verse 4, he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you. And you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound. But it wasn't a rattling of a deconstruction. It was a rattling of a coming together. And the bones came together, bone to bone. I believe things are going to come together in your life. I believe that God is going to breathe into your life and into your circumstances. And things and people and circumstances are going to come together. He says, I looked, and the tendons and the flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the Lord says. Come, breath, from the four winds, and breathe into these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded, and breath entered them. And they came to life, and they stood up to their feet, a vast army. Then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the people of Israel. They say, our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We're cut off. Therefore, prophesy to them and say to them, this is what the Lord says, my people, I'm going to open your graves. I'm going to bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord. I will open your graves and bring you up from them. I will put my spirit in you and you will live, not die. You will live and I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken. I have done it, declares the Lord. God speaks to Ezekiel, gives him this vision. Those bones don't just represent a vast army, they represent a nation that was once strong, but now was weak, dry. What are the dry places in your life? What's dry in your life? What areas of your life are you lacking joy and passion, excitement, and energy? This is the thing. The enemy loves walking in dry places, and the enemy loves bringing you and leading you to dry places. And the enemy will use busyness, distractions, and activities to keep you dry. Because if he can keep you busy enough, he can keep you disconnected enough from the spring of living water. And we have a lot of people who are worn out and depleted and exhausted. If anything COVID showed us is that we are a tired people. I actually believe we're a burnt out people. I actually believe we're exhausted people. And this is the thing. We're not physically tired, although some of us are, but we are more spiritually weary and tired because we've lost our connection to the things of God, to the person of God. This nation used to be an army. They were warriors, and now they're dry. They lost their fight. You've lost your fight? Have you lost your fight? Have you ever been through a situation where you've been despaired of life? There are things that can attack you so severely and consistently, and you get so tired that you just don't want to fight anymore. And that happened to me a few years ago. I became burnt out. I've shared this story in the past. Maybe you've never heard it, but in 2016, it hit me full steam ahead. I was full-blown burnt out, exhausted and depleted, working and giving and pouring. You know, I discovered the definition of burnout wasn't working too much. I discovered that burnout was giving what you do not possess. Let me say that again. Burnout is not doing too much. Burnout is giving what you don't have. And I gave everything I had, but I wasn't connected to the source because I lost my connection to the source. And then I became driven by things like ego, success, accomplishment, pride. So first, God rattled me. I was rattled. My family was rattled. My wife was rattled to see me in such a state of depression, discouragement, despair, dark. I was so numb, I found it hard to drive because I couldn't connect. I couldn't focus. You ever been there? You've been like just so... I was rattled. God rattled me physically first. So I remember I heard a pastor in 2016 said, the best decision you ever made was go to counseling. And I was like, how can I go to counseling if I'm a counselor? Or where do pastors go for counseling? I had a lot of pride in me. Didn't know if I could even make it to an office. And I asked around and so finally got a name. And I was so embarrassed to go. And I kind of like hid a little bit and just quickly went into the office. I sat there, the most uncomfortable experience I've ever had in my life, but at the same time, the best experience I've ever had in my life. And the counselor was able to identify that I was burnt out, but I also had experienced trauma from ministry, from life. I was struggling with symptoms of PTSD, and he said, Joe, you just need to grieve, process your pain, give it to God. And through that rattling experience, God began to shake everything in my life, which I thought was firm. The foundation I was standing on, I thought was firm, it began to crack. And I recognized, oh my goodness, the very thing I was relying upon is no longer there. And I recognized success and all those things that I thought was successful wasn't really the definition of success. And I came to the point that I recognized that I needed God to rattle me inwardly as well. And revive me and awaken me. I was dry. You ever been dry like that? And during that season, God began to work in my life. And he said to me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" And I sat there in my pain. And I'm like, "God, only you know, because right now I feel like giving up. I actually consider retiring." I said, "Well, if cops could retire after 20 years, I'm jealous of you guys, you know what I mean? Like 20 years, man, that's so cool. Some of you are 42 and retired." I said, "I could retire. I was 42. What I learned is you can retire from a job, but you can't retire from a calling. And I said, "Well, that's what God said. You can retire from your job, but you can't retire from your calling." I just needed relief. And as I sat under the care of Jesus and the Spirit of God, he said to me, "Can these bones live?" And I said, "Lord, only you know." He said, "Prophesy to those bones and say, hear the word of the Lord." And sometimes, even though you don't believe that it could happen, sometimes you just need to obey God when he says, when he gives you direction on what to do. So I just simply began to declare over my life and my family and my future and my church, hear the word of the Lord. Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Come to life, dry bones. Spirit of God, breathe into our congregation. Breathe into my heart. Breathe into our church. Over time and over years, I don't have time to share the whole story, God began to breathe into my soul once again. And then there was that rattling. I was in that dry place, very dry place. And then there was a rattling. And things started coming together, bone by bone. And once things started coming together, I started regaining my strength again, my fight again, my passion again. To the point now, fast forward 4 years, I'm the strongest I've ever been, the healthiest I've ever been, the more connected, the most connected to God I've ever been. Now, because I allowed God to rattle my life. Will you allow God to rattle you? Will you open up your soul and say, "Holy Spirit, rattle me, fill me. I need to be revived. I acknowledge my dryness. I acknowledge my pain. I acknowledge I need you. I acknowledge that what I'm doing is not working. Holy Spirit, revive me, renew me, fill me." How many would say that? "Holy Spirit, rattle my life." Let's just bow our heads in prayer.